بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. Chapter 31, page 114, Love for Allah.
بسم الله إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد. The next few chapters are going to be from a different nature than what we have done before, and they're going to be more, if you like, theoretical. At the same time, they are of the most fundamental aspects of Tawheed al-Uluhiyya, of the Tawheed of worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we are going to discuss the importance of loving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and of fearing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and of putting our trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that it is shirk, or it is something that expels a person from the fold of Islam if he loves another being or deity like he loves Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Likewise, if he fears something or some object or some deity like he fears Allah, and likewise if he puts his trust in other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now the chapter heading actually is not from the author. It is an explanation that was given by the translator. Actually, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the author actually puts this chapter heading as what has been narrated concerning the statement, وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَتَّخِذُ مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ أَنْدَادًا يُحِبُّونَهُمْ كَحُبِّ اللَّهِ, that there are amongst mankind those who take besides Allah andad, and they love them like they love Allah. So if you can read the verse again actually.
Allah the Most Exalted said, and of mankind are some who take others besides Allah as rivals. They love them as they love Allah.
Okay, now in this verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about the mushrikun, some of the pagans, some of the idol worshippers, and he says, there are amongst mankind those that take rivals. The Arabic word that is used is nid. Plural of nid is andad. Okay? They take rivals and they love these rivals as they love Allah. So they love their idols, they love their gods just like they love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay? And for example, amongst the Christians in our times, okay, they love Jesus Christ just like they love Allah, if not more so. So this, Allah is saying, is a type of shirk because they have taken besides Allah a partner. Allah says they have taken besides Him a partner or a rival. How have they done this? They have loved something, or they have loved an idol, or they have loved an object just like they have loved Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when you love an object like you love Allah, then you have taken an idol, it is as if you have done shirk with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now we have to know that there are different types of love. The first type of love is, if you want to call it, divine love, or the love that the creation has for the creator. Okay? The first type of love is divine love. That this type of love, it is not allowed, it is not permitted to have for other than your creator. Okay? The second type of love is love for the sake of Allah. Love for the sake of Allah. So in this category, you would fall, for example, love of the prophets, and love of the messengers, and love of the angels, and even, for example, love of your Muslim brother. Obviously, there are different levels here. Obviously, the love of the Prophet is much more than the love of any person after him, as we will prove in a short while. But the point is, all of this falls under one category, and that is love for the sake of Allah. That you only love this object because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told you to love this object. So we love the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam because Allah commanded us to love him, because the Prophet is the one that guided us to the truth, because he was the one that Allah chose to be the final messenger, because he has such perfect qualities. But we don't love him the divine love. We love him the love for the sake of Allah. Likewise, we love our fellow Muslim brothers. How do we love them? We love them for the sake of Allah. Allah commanded us to love and to respect and to have mutual ties with our Muslim brothers. So this is the second type of love. The third type of love is a natural love. And this is the type of love that a man has for his wife, and a person has for his parents and for his children. This is a natural love. Okay? So this type of love, it could be, obviously the first two categories, they are wajib, they are obligatory to have. Love for Allah, the divine love that you have for Allah, and the second one is the love that you have for the sake of Allah. The third category, it depends on what this love causes you to do. So if you love your father so much that it causes you to commit shirk, then this type of love is shirk. If you love your wife so much that it causes you to commit shirk, then this type of love is shirk. However, if you use this love for the worship of Allah, then this type of love is rewarded. Okay? If you use this love for the worship of Allah, then this type of love is rewarded. So for example, you love your parents. Okay? Therefore, this you will use your love for them to help you serve them. Okay? And this type of love then will be rewarded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because you are using it for His deen, for His religion. Okay? Likewise, you love your brothers, you love your children, you love your wife. If this type of love causes you to do what Allah has commanded you to do in treating them nicely and raising your children upon the proper tarbiyah. And if you have true love for them, by the way, that means that you will teach them the religion of Islam and force upon them the religion of Islam. Okay? I mean, many shaitan will come and give a false type of love to mothers, for example, and fathers, that, oh, my son is still too young to wake up for Fajr. He's only 8, 9, 10 years old, whatever, you know. He's too young. And so, they think that out of love for their children, they're not going to wake them up. But if they truly love their children for the sake of Allah, they would use this love to realize that it is now the time to train them properly to wake up for Fajr, so that when they grow up, this will be automatically ingrained in their heads that they wake up for Fajr. Okay? So if they have the true love that they have for their parents and their wives and their children and their brothers, then this natural love will be rewarded when they use it for the sake of Allah. But when they use this love, for example, a man and a woman, they love each other. Okay? They use this love to commit sins. Or they use this love to, for example, the man wants to accept Islam and the woman says no. So the man, out of his love for this woman, refuses to accept Islam. This type of love is shirk. So basically we are saying that this natural type of love, it could be rewarded, it could be obligatory, it could be mubah, yani it doesn't cause you any good or harm, it's just allowed to have. If it doesn't cause you to do anything wrong, and it doesn't lead you to the worship of Allah, it's allowed to this type of love, natural love, okay? But it could also lead you to haram things, and it could also lead you to shirk. So depending on what this love does for you, that is what the reward you will get, or the punishment you will get for this type of love, okay? So how many types of love have we mentioned? Three types, okay? And you can say there's a fourth, or you can say 3B if you like, and that is the love that you have for food and water and life. This is like every human has, this type of love, okay? And once again, this type of love, if you use it in the sense that you want warmness, you want warmth, you don't like extreme cold or extreme hot, okay? Such as in this masjid, it's extremely cold. Can you make it lower actually, if someone knows how to do it? Huh? Whatever, yeah. Okay, so a person, he loves to be in a good atmosphere, good environment. He loves to have food and water and drink. This type of love, again, if you use it for the worship of Allah, it is not something prohibited. But if you use it to disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is where that type of love falls into sin. Okay? Now the fourth type of love, you can say, is the love that is pure shirk. And that is when you show your divine love to others than your Creator. Okay, this is what this verse is referring to. That there are amongst mankind those who take rivals besides Allah. How do they take these rivals? When they love an object, when they love this idol, when they love this deity, when they love this person, just like they love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So then Allah is saying that these mushrikun, they love their idols just like they love Allah. Equivalent. If they love Allah this much, they love their idols this much too. And then Allah says, He goes on and He says, وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَشَدُّ حُبَّ لِلَّهِ. Those that really believe, those that have iman, they love Allah more. In other words, they love Allah more than the pagans love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why is that? Who can give me a reason? From the verse. They love Allah more than the pagans love Allah. The mushrikun, they love Allah. Why is that? Common sense. In other words, they single out Allah for their love. Whereas the mushrikun, they have to divide their love among so many things. Okay, so the Christians, they have to divide their love for God the Father and God the Son, or Jesus the Son, they say, okay? And whatever, if they're Catholics, then Mary, if they're Protestants, and whatever their love is, they have to divide it among so many different things. Whereas the Muslim, his divine love, the first category that we mentioned, will be only, purely for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So obviously, his love for Allah will be greater than his love for other things, okay? So we said then that all other types of love, they must be subservient to the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If your love for something causes you to commit shirk, then it is as if that love of yours in and of itself is shirk. Okay? If your love for a person, your love for a concept, your love for an ideology causes you to go outside the fold of Islam, then that love in and of itself is an act of shirk. Okay? It doesn't matter whether it's your wife or your God or your idol, it doesn't matter what it is. However, if that love causes you to sin, not to commit shirk, but to sin, okay? For example, your family wants to have a nice big house and you don't have the money to do so. So in order to please them, you buy a house on interest, okay, on mortgage. Now this is a sin, it's not shirk. Then this love of yours is sinful love, is a sinful type of love. Why? Because it has caused you to stray from the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we said the only time that this love is rewarded is when you use it for the worship of Allah. So, you use your love for your family, to cause them to come closer to Islam, to give da'wah to them, to give them nasiha, to treat them nicely. Like the Prophet said, in this case, even if a man puts a morsel of food in his wife's mouth, he will be rewarded for that. Because he's using his love for his wife in the way that is halal for him, i.e. taking care of her, protecting her, feeding her. This is what he's supposed to do. So when he uses that love that he has for her to cause him to worship Allah and to obey Allah, then that love will be rewarded. So is that clear? Because people get confused with the concept of love. We have to understand the different types of love. There is the divine love, and that is only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That type of love that you have, there can be no comparison to that love. There can be no comparison that you love your Creator more than anything else, and you desire good from Him more than anything else. There is no comparison between the love of Allah and other things. The second category is the love that you have for the sake of Allah. So, obviously, the first and foremost person will be the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that you love him for the sake of Allah, okay? Because of all of his good characteristics. And then the angels and the books and all of the other messengers, you have a love for them because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told you to love them, and because Allah gave them those qualities that they possess which are so perfect. Also included in this is the love that the Muslims have for each other. They're supposed to, like the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, that the Muslims are brothers, right? And he said that, another hadith of brotherhood. Is an easy topic. A very, very good hadith, yeah, that none of you truly believes until he loves for his brother what he loves for himself. So many other hadith about this, okay? The third category said was natural love, and you can divide this into two categories, you can lump it all together. Natural love that you have for other people, and natural love that you have for, water, food, survival basically, your natural instincts. And the fourth type of love is the type of love that is shirk, and that is when you use any of these loves and to cause you to do shirk, okay? Any of these above mentioned loves, it causes you to commit shirk, or you love an idol like you love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you love Jesus Christ, you love even the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam like you love Allah. Because you cannot show the divine love. And this is, by the way, the fault with which group? The Barelis, exactly. Okay? They have basically loved the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this type of divine love. So they actually do acts of worship to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Okay? Like we already discussed on a number of occasions. Okay? Now, move on.
Say, if your fathers, your sons, your brothers, your wives, your kindred, the wealth that you've gained, the commerce in which you fear decline, and the dwellings in which you delight are dearer to you than Allah and His Messenger, and striving hard and fighting in His cause, then wait until Allah brings about His decision.
Okay, this verse in Surah Al-Tawbah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say, is challenging basically the believers and other than the believers. Now, قُل, what is the meaning of قُل? We said this many times. Obviously not to say, but what is the implication? Emphasis, exactly, because the whole Quran the Prophet has to say it, right? The whole Quran he has to say it. So why does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sometimes tell the Prophet, قُل, tell them? This means that what's going to follow is going to be more emphasized than before. So tell them, if your fathers, قُل إِن كَانَ آبَاؤُكُمْ وَأَبْنَاؤُكُمْ وَإِخْوَانُكُمْ, if your fathers and your sons and your brothers and your wives and your family relatives and the money that you have combined and amassed and hoarded, and the businesses whose loss that you fear, and the houses that you love. In other words, everything of this dunya that you can imagine. Okay? All of your family and your money and your houses and your possessions, if all of these things are more beloved to you, أَحَبَّ إِلَيْكُمْ, you love these, any of these things, more than you love Allah and His Messenger and jihad in His way, then wait. Wait until the commandment of Allah comes and Allah does not guide the evil people. What is the meaning of the word wait? What do you think this type of thing is? It's a type of threat. Wait. It's like a threat when your superior tells you, if you don't do this, then you will see what happens. Okay? Allah didn't even describe the punishment. He left it to our imagination, or to the imagination of those that fall into this verse, to make them even more scared. Just wait until the commandment of Allah comes. So what is the point of this verse? Is that to love any object, like you love Allah and His Messenger and jihad in His way, is a type of shirk, is a type of kufr. To love any object, any philosophy, any ideology, any race, any person, it doesn't matter. When you love something like you love Allah, then you have committed a type of shirk here. Now move on.
Anas radiallahu anhu narrated that Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, None of you becomes a believer till he loves me more than his father and his children and all mankind.
The Prophet ﷺ said that none of you believes until he loves me more than he loves his son and his father and all of mankind. Okay? So in this case, the Prophet ﷺ is telling the believers that none of you truly believes. Now this type of belief that the Prophet is negating is the perfection of your belief. Okay? The perfection of your belief. He is not negating the basic belief that every Muslim has. Okay? As long as the person loves Allah and His Messenger, then he has, and he loves him, them, more than he loves any other object, okay? Then this, he has perfected his iman. If he loves them, but he falls short in his love for them, and he doesn't commit shirk, then he has a weak iman, but he doesn't fall into shirk. As long as his love for another object does not cause him to commit shirk. If his love for another object causes him to commit a sin, what does this mean? Is he a mushrik? No. It just means that he has not reached the perfection of his iman. Okay, so this hadith refers to perfecting your iman. And the reason that this hadith was said was that Umar said, Ya Rasulullah, verily I love you more than everything except myself. I love you more than everything except myself. So the Prophet ﷺ said, by him in whose hands is my soul, until you love me more than you love yourself. In other words, you will not achieve that station or that status until you love me, meaning the Prophet ﷺ, more than you love yourself. And then Umar said, فَإِنَّكَ الْآنِ يعني, in that case, you are more beloved to me now than even myself. Okay? So Umar, look at his iman. When the Prophet ﷺ told him that you will not achieve that level of iman until you love me more than you love yourself, Umar immediately said, in that case, Ya Rasulullah, right now from now on I love you even more than I love myself. Okay? So the point is, if a person wants to reach perfection in his iman, he must love Allah and he must love Allah's Messenger. And the two types of love we said are different. Okay? One is the divine love that you have for the Creator. The other is the love that you have for the sake of the Creator. Okay? We love Allah because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is all perfect. He has the most beautiful names and the most perfect attributes. We love Allah because of Allah. We love the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created the Prophet in that manner. And has blessed him with these blessings. And has given him these characteristics that cause us to love the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So there is a big difference now between loving Allah and loving the Messenger. Okay? The love that we have for the Prophet's Messenger, it is based on the qualities, the characteristics, and the status that Allah gave him. Okay? So it is not because of the Prophet himself, it is because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam those characteristics and those qualities, and he made him the final Prophet and made him the best of the creation. As for the love that we have for Allah, this is because of Allah himself, that Allah is all perfect and Allah is our creator and our nourisher and our Rabb. You know, all of these names and attributes of Allah, we love Allah because of that. But in this case, and realize that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not say until you love me more than you love Allah. No. Because the Prophet himself realized there is a difference between the love in him and the love that a Muslim must have for Allah. So you must love, out of all of the created objects, who must you love the most? Created objects, I said. The Prophet ﷺ. Out of all of the created objects, you must love the Prophet ﷺ the most. Okay? Out of all of mankind, out of everything that Allah created, our love must be directed to the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ the most. Okay? However, our love must be directed to Allah in a different way and in a greater way than the Prophet ﷺ. I hope that is clear, the different categories of love. Tayyib, okay, move on.
Anas radiallahu anhu also narrated that the Prophet ﷺ said, whoever possesses the following three qualities will have the sweetness of faith. The one to whom Allah and His Messenger ﷺ are more beloved than anything else. The one who loves another only for Allah's sake. The one who hates to convert to disbelief after Allah has rescued him from it, as he hates to be thrown into the fire.
Okay, in this hadith, which is muttafaq alayhi before in Bukhari and Muslim, the Prophet ﷺ said, three characteristics. Whoever has them, he will feel and he will taste the sweetness of iman. So this shows you then that iman has a sweetness to it. It has a beautiful taste to it that will be achieved by those who have reached that status or that level of iman. And this station is reached that when a person, he will leave a sin, and when he leaves that sin, he will taste a pleasure greater than that sin would have given him. Because he left that sin, for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He will perform a deed, and he will enjoy performing that religious deed for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Just like the Prophet said to Bilal. What did he say to Bilal concerning the prayer? We said this before. He said, أَرِحْنَا بِهَا يَا بِلَال. He used to tell Bilal that, hurry up and give us this comfort, O Bilal. Give us this comfort that we're going to feel in prayer. And he also used to say that, the coolness of my eyes is in the prayer. So the Prophet ﷺ had obviously reached the perfect level of Iman. That when he would worship Allah, he would enjoy it in a sweet manner that no one can describe. And likewise, the true believers, when they have reached a level of Iman, they enjoy the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala more than anything else. And they actually enjoy leaving sins for the sake of Allah. And they feel a sweetness of Iman that shows that they have reached that level of Iman. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying, three characteristics will cause you to have that sweetness of Iman. Okay? What is the first one? The most important one? That he loves Allah and His Messenger more than anything besides them. Okay? That his love for Allah and His Messenger is greater than his love for any other thing besides these two. The second thing is that he loves a person, he doesn't love him except for the sake of Allah. Okay, so he loves his Muslim brother just for the sake of Allah. Not because of some worldly benefit, not because he has a lot of money he's going to give him, not because of any fact except that he is a pious Muslim brother and he loves him just because he is a pious Muslim brother. Likewise amongst the sisters, just because one sister is pious or something, the sisters, other sisters will love her just for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the third thing is that he hates to return to kufr after Allah has saved him from it, just like he hates to be thrown in the fire of hell. Okay? That he hates to return to kufr after Allah has saved him from it, just like he hates to return to the fire of hell. Now the question arises, what are the signs of this love? I mean, everyone claims to love Allah and His Messenger. Okay? The strongest indication when you love Allah and His Messenger is that you love what they love and you hate what they hate. Okay? Let me give a very simple example. Everyone understands this. Okay? And obviously, this example is not meant to give a comparison, astaghfirullah, but it's just to give the message home. That when a man loves a woman, okay, he will do anything to please her. This is something that everyone knows. He will do anything to please her. Whatever she likes, he will make sure that he does that to please her. Okay? If she likes a certain type of clothes, he'll make sure he's wearing that type of clothes. If she likes a certain color, he'll make sure, basically he will imitate everything that woman wants him to do. Just in order to gain her admiration and praise and love. Okay? And obviously this is not a comparison that we're getting, but we're just trying to make you understand the concept here. That when you love Allah and His Messenger, okay? And obviously there is no comparison between this example and that. But when you love Allah and His Messenger, then this automatically implies that you love what they love and you hate what they hate. So whatever Allah has told you to do, you will do it with a love in your heart. And whatever Allah has told you to hate, you will hate it with a passion in your heart. So you will follow Allah and you will obey Allah and you will obey the Messenger. If you have a love for Allah and His Messenger. Okay? And you will remain or refrain from disobeying Allah and from disobeying Allah's Messenger. So this is obviously the strongest indication and criterion of this factor of love. And so basically the point is, love in Allah necessitates that you obey Allah. Love in Allah, it is just not possible that you claim that you love Allah and yet you don't follow Allah. It is not possible that you claim that you love the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and yet you ignore his teachings. Okay, and this is the strongest refutation once more of this group known as the not the Quraniyun. Well, the Quraniyun we're going to get to them in the afternoon, inshallah. The Bareilvis, right? Is that throughout the year, many of them disobey Allah subhanahu wa taala. But on that one day, which they consider the Prophet's birthday, all of a sudden they perform all of these innovative acts and they say that we do this for the love of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is the strongest indication that they are liars. Okay, if they truly loved Allah and His Messenger, they would follow His Sunnah. They would follow the Quran and the Sunnah throughout the whole year, not just on that one day. Okay, and yet everyone knows on this day you will find people in the masjid, in their masjid, that you don't see them throughout the whole year in that masjid, and they will come and they will do their acts and they will get angry at those who accuse them of not loving Allah's Messenger, and they will accuse other people of disbelief. They will say, "You don't love Allah's Messenger. We are the ones that love Allah's Messenger." Well, okay, there's the criterion. Allah says in the Quran, if you truly love Allah, then follow me. We quoted this verse yesterday. If you truly love Allah, then follow me. Follow me meaning? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If you really presume that you love Allah, then follow the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In that case, Allah will love you and forgive you your sins. So the point is, if you consider or you claim that you love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this necessitates that you will love to do good. You will love to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You will love to leave the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You will love the people that obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you will hate the people that disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay? For example, you know, again, like, if for example, you love your mother, for example, okay? If someone were to say, were to disobey your mother, or to say something bad about your mother, could you ever have any love in your heart for this person? No. Okay? Likewise, if someone is openly disobeying Allah and His Messenger, okay, making fun of them, or even not ridiculing them, but openly disobeying Allah and His Messenger. Can you love that person like you love the one that is obeying Allah and His Messenger? No, of course not. How about the Jews and the Christians? those that had openly rejected Allah and His Messenger.